Welcome to the InnovaBuzz podcast, where our job is to help you build visibility, professional credibility, and connection with your ideal client by putting the human at the center of innovative marketing, so you can build and strengthen an engaging, enduring relationship with your ideal clients. I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and I'm honored that you're here with me. If you haven't joined our wonderful marketing transformation community yet, go to innovabiz.co and collect your free gift as well. Do subscribe to the show and also leave a review because it helps others find us. Let's get into today's masterclass on this InnovaBuzz podcast.
It's an incredible time right now. You are just granted an opportunity more than ever before to explore a different part of yourself. Please don't shy away from it. Jump in, play with an offer, dream up an offer that you might want to play with, and put it out there and see what comes in. One of the greatest life hacks I've discovered so far in my life is, again, just if I let people know how I want to receive them, they will come into my arms. It's as simple as saying, hey, I'm open and available. This is how.
Welcome back. I hope you've had an awesome week so far. If you haven't yet listened to my recent conversations with on-demand CFO Mr. Biz, Ken Wentworth, and with empathy expert Dr. Mark Goulston, then do check them out, but only after you've listened to today's conversation. I'm really excited today to have on the InnovaBuzz podcast as my guest, Maxine Cunningham, who is the founder and CEO of Pick My Brain, which is an online platform that helps you package offers and sell your time, your knowledge, and your experience in new and creative ways. Pick My Brain was born out of Maxine's vision to make the world's brains and their knowledge more creatively available, accessible, and useful to all. The platform and the philosophy of Pick My Brain is based on the saying by Ikujiro Nonaka that without real exchange, you can't create knowledge. Maxine has transitioned from a finance and economics career to exchanging value in the new knowledge economy and providing the means of generating and creating pathways of abundance for many. Now, total transparency here, I'm an early adopter and a client of Pick My Brain, and I'm a really enthusiastic user. I think the platform has so many advantages and so much potential. I hope today's conversation sheds some light on the power of this idea and the Pick My Brain platform. In our discussion, Maxine talked to me about the risk of losing knowledge and information in society as people retire, and how the new information economy provides both the opportunities to plug that knowledge back into society, as well as the knowledge holders benefiting from sharing their wisdom. We talked about the core philosophy of and the business model of Pick My Brain, and we talked about the power of conversations to change lives. Without further ado then, let's fly into the hive and get the buzz from Maxine Cunningham. Hi, I'm your host, Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and I'm really excited to welcome to the InnovaBuzz podcast today, all the way from Vancouver in Canada, Maxine Cunningham, who's the founder and CEO of Pick My Brain, which is an online platform that helps you package and sell your time, your knowledge, your expertise in new and creative ways on your own terms. So welcome to the InnovaBuzz podcast, Maxine. It's a real privilege to have you as my guest.
Oh, it's a real privilege to be your guest.
Now, we met a little while ago, just before the lockdown happened, at Jason Sultan's No BS conference. And there's an interesting story to go with that one. But Jason was our guest on episode 266 of the Innova Buzz podcast. So he's responsible for us meeting. So a big hello to Jason.
Thank you, Jason, for bringing all of the beauties together in the last conference and talking about no bullshit right when the economy stopped and we needed a no bullshit attitude. It was perfect launching.
Yeah. Now, you've got a really interesting background. You've been an investment banker. You say that you're an investment banker turned economist, turned environmentalist, turned startup founder, and now you're on a mission to help make the world's brains more accessible to everybody, more creatively available and useful to society. So really big mission. So tell us a little bit about how you kind of transitioned from the finance world into environmental activism and then into kind of small business and why pick my brain?
I started my career in business. Both my parents are entrepreneurs, so I was always very entrepreneurial, and I learned at a young age to start investing. And I, after the time I finished my commerce, I kind of thought that, you know, I saw that where we spend our money really dictates the future, wherever we allocate it. So I thought, okay, well, if I am deciding where to spend money, if I can get to that decision maker point, then maybe I can help build the future. And I did investment banking and kind of dove down this financial path, hoping that I could use money to build the future. I was always interested in building the future. My parents are very futurist people. I started in that path. I ran a big investment fund for our university. There was 12 students chosen. I was the only female, and my job was to manage this $2 million portfolio. And trade and make our board of advisors, you know, happy. And so I started to learn the rules of the game. And what I started to learn, even at that stage before I had gone professionally and done it, was that the questions that they were asking or the choices I had to invest the money were quite limited. And I started asking questions, you know, I was responsible for the energy sector, and therefore my options to invest primarily included oil and gas companies. And I noticed, you know, things like on the Bloomberg terminal, there's no way to judge these oil and gas companies on things like carbon emissions. And so I would be like, go back to my advisors and be like, you know, how do we choose between these to build the best future? I can't even, all I can look at are price earnings ratio, dividend yields, you know, tracking this, these very quantitative metrics. I couldn't, there was no information about the CEO of the company or his vision or, you know, things that I could help decide. And I thought that was strange. And so I kept asking questions and trying to figure out how to bring these indicators so I could make better decisions. And kept going down that path loved the work, didn't love the application. I just felt that I was not doing the job I set out to do, which was to spend money to build the future. The way that the economy spends money is, as a lot of us know, it's just like so primarily locked into quantitative metrics. And so after 2 years of doing an investment banking track, I kind of was like, you know what? I think there's a better way to think about this, and there's a more well-rounded approach to think about this. And so I decided to go back and do my master's in economics. And economics is the study of why people do what they do and how to distribute resources equitably. And it also marries economic, environmental, and social indicators. It kind of brings those three pieces together. And I thought, okay, great. This is going to kind of fill the gap that this financial market left. And so I went and studied my master's in economics, and it really did round out my thinking. I could think about how to allocate resources equitably forever. It's such a challenging problem when you add countries and laws and rules and regulations and limiting resources and history into that equation. And what does equitable mean? And I just found it such a fascinating topic. And it was in that class that I brought that, that same knowledge I saw in the financial world. This environmental component was not being accounted for. And so the environmental passion started to come up in me. And I said, well, I understand why it's not being accounted for. It's not in the Bloomberg terminal. How much money does the Bloomberg command? You know, what percent of the GDP, you know, what percent of the world is held here? And these guys don't even count carbon emissions, which the UN is saying is the most important thing to count now. You know, they're not in alignment. And so I started digging down that path and becoming, yeah, just really interested in it. And I actually started my own company to start. It's called Doing Economics That Works. And it was all about monetizing the unquantifiable and bringing these environmental indicators into the decision-making process so that we could make more equitable decisions. And then I went and worked for an international think tank and thought about this internationally. And that's where I started to aggregate these numbers and look at the world as a whole, as a one planet, right? We have these things called planetary boundaries. There's 9 of them. And they're scientific boundary lines that are applied to our planet that if we cross them, catastrophic things start to happen because the whole system gets out of whack. There's mathematical lines. And our mission was to stay within those planetary boundaries. Hey guys, we should probably stay within the planetary boundaries. If we do that, the Earth's regenerative capacity will actually be, you know, it'll be so renewable, it'll be so compounding. So it makes sense, right? It makes sense for all of us to want to stay in alignment with these planetary boundaries. And they're pretty mathematical, guys. So there's no like gray. It's like, this is the species of a fish and this is how much it reproduces. And if we fish beyond that rate, it's going to depleish. And if we fish within accordance, it's going to be a renewable resource, right? And so I thought I was very ambitious. I still am very ambitious, but you know, it just made so much logical sense, mathematical sense, social sense. And then, you know, I went in the industry and 4 years tried to push this and just saw the complexity of 2 countries agreeing. You know, you have to get the nations to agree on following these limits and who gets the limits. And after 4 years, I didn't know if through policy was the best way. I was kind of getting disenchanted with whether that was the right lever to get the world to agree to follow planetary boundaries. And I was getting just a little bit, discouraged for sure. I remember sitting at an international negotiation table one time and a country stating that they don't care about some animals going extinct. It's not a thing for them. And I just remember sitting there and being like, I didn't know you could not care for that. I didn't know that. I had missed things that I just thought we all cared about were on the table for negotiation. And that was a real eye-opening moment for me and a real, I guess they would say, loss of innocence again. And so after 4 years of putting my heart and soul into the policy world, I started to be open. And this is when I came across a company called Airbnb. And I was like, whoa, what's this? Like, this is fascinating. Oh, is this a peer-to-peer marketplace? My economist brain goes off, you know, a peer-to-peer marketplace is the most efficient form of value transfer because it's going peer-to-peer and there's less transaction. I'm like, okay, cool. And oh my gosh, they're monetizing a shared asset? You know, brilliant, right? Because formalizing, they just created an entire new category of additionality by monetizing a shared asset. I was like, oh my gosh, that's really cool. And holy, by monetizing the shared asset they chose to monetize, which is unused space in a home, they created an environmental, economic, and social good overnight, internationally. And I was like, okay, that's 3 check marks. And then when I dug into it, I was like, wait, 3 designer kids made this? You know, like 3 people that I could identify with, 3 guys. I mean, it wasn't female, but it's 3 guys that were my age, that were just, you know, they had stumbled on. I was a big couch surfer before Airbnb. I couch surfed all around the world for free. And I always said, as an economist, they should monetize this. You know, they should definitely monetize this just so it has an option. It shouldn't always be free because sometimes you just want to, you know, you want both options. So they didn't do anything new, but these designer kids got together. And as we know, Airbnb has now become prolific. And I often think of all the value that they've actually added to the system. I know that there's some issues now, but I was, that locked my brain into a certain, it just click, 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 click. And within a week, I remember sitting down with the CEO of the company I was working for, Scott Vaughn, and I took him for a walk, and I was in Ottawa, Canada at the time, and we walked around the Parliament Hill, and I had to tell him that I had to leave his mission because this company, peer-to-peer, monetized shared asset, economic, environmental, and social good, which is what I was kind of seeking through my whole career and was only getting pieces of it, and this one combined all three, and I was like, I need to go study peer-to-peer marketplaces. I need to go study tech. Does this exist other places? I need to go learn this. And so I handed in my resignation. Within a week, I convinced my partner at the time to do the same. And I said, you know what we need to do? We need to take a year on. I called it a year on. It wasn't a year off because I'd gone to university for 8 years up until that point under an institution and learned a lot. And now it was my turn to make my own university now that I had worked and decided what I wanted to study, which was peer-to-peer marketplaces. And that's what we did. We both quit our jobs and took a year. We did a lot of fun things. We like drove across Canada. We went to Maui for a month and just read all these books that we wanted to read that we didn't have time to read. We talked to so many people in our network and just like learned. We went up north and it was on that journey that we gave ourselves all this. We kind of scheduled it out just like a university. We had, you know, different classes to take, online courses to test, research to do. We trade stories. And I'd say it was about 6 months into that journey where we were just driving one day and I just started being like, why isn't there an Airbnb for people? Or like, why is it that, you know, my mom is retiring, a woman that has, you know, 20 plus years experience running businesses and women and studying. And she, you know, she can't plug her knowledge back in the same way as she could rent her house on Airbnb. And I just started playing with this. And then I remember looking up that night, I was like, how many people are retiring every day? How many other people are having a hard time plugging their knowledge or uploading their knowledge, right? Because I'm thinking an Airbnb to the system. Like, and it was hundreds of thousands of people, right? Retiring. And all I could imagine, my visualization was, it was actually like carbon emissions. I was like, we need to capture those. We need to capture it and not let it disappear. We need to plug it. We need to divert it. We need to capture and re-inject. And that thought never left, just like the one with Airbnb. And that thought turned into what I spent the last 3 years of my life working on, which is pick my brain. And that was the full transition. And I could not think of anything else besides this problem that I started to see now that I saw it and the direct applicability to how it could also be an economic, environmental, and social win, how it could aggregate, how it's complete additionality, how it's stepping away from the consumption of stuff. And I just started tinkering and thinking about this problem. Why is it so hard for people to share their knowledge? Why is it so hard to buy knowledge? Why is it so easy to not to just get left out, like your 20 years isn't being put anywhere, not even in audio format. And I know we've talked about that, right? Capture, where is it going? So I just totally transitioned and now we're 3 years in and that was the stages, how I got there.
Fascinating. Hmm. Yeah. And, you know, you talked about the hundreds of thousands, I imagine it's probably millions around the world that are retiring with lots of knowledge, expertise, know-how. I know when I left the corporate world, there was a big purge of about 30 or 40 people just in our country of this global corporation. I think there might have been several hundred at a certain level of people with, you know, 20, 30, 40 years experience. And you sort of wonder, well, there was nothing. Like, people contacted me later on from the company saying, you know, how do we do this? How do we do that? And I thought, well, there's nobody left that knows things there, that knows certain things. But of course, then you have that knowledge. The former employer is not necessarily interested, but how do you leverage that knowledge? And as you say, a lot of it gets lost. But the other side of that is there's, like, particularly now with the global pandemic, there's people losing their jobs because there's new ways of working are going to come out of this. Companies are streamlining. There's lots of people with expertise that are not necessarily retirement age, but are finding themselves out of a job. And they also have to make a decision, what do we do now? And, you know, jobs are going to be scarce. So there's an opportunity there. And then I think also of young parents, particularly mums who, you know, even today are still the ones that kind of put their career on hold to raise children. And then once the children are a little bit more self-sufficient, they're looking for opportunities to kind of resume their career or contribute back to society outside of their family, and there's limited opportunities for them as well. So I think there's a whole lot of target markets, if you like, that could benefit from something like this, right?
Yeah, and it's so funny. It's such a good problem to have, but it is also a problem to have, right? There, so I have to fix, like, as a startup founder, as a bootstrap startup founder, which means that for 3 years, we made just enough money to keep building the product and learning our value proposition and reinvesting everything that we've earned back in the platform to find that product market fit. We want to pick, right? We're at this really, it's the pinnacle. It's the greatest space. It's the greatest playing field ever. And one of the stats I love, and this was pre-COVID, Dell came out with this, and the study was 85% of the jobs that are going to exist by 2030 do not exist today. And that was pre-COVID. So I think, I mean, could it even be higher, right? And I am seeing on Pick My Brain that inspiration, like the people that you're saying, the people that have left their job and got to re-identify, what are they? Who are they? What's my identity? What is this market? And what I'm seeing on the platform is people combining their personal and their professional experiences and passions and interests into a hybrid job that didn't exist before, but absolutely has a need. And it's breaking down those silos, right? And this is why this time is so beautiful, because what I found such an issue in the financing world, in the economic world, in the policy world, is that they were rooted and baked in these outdated policies that held this system over here. You couldn't even break it. Even if it made logical sense, it was too broken. Well, now, you know, there's no more rules. There's rules, but the whole game just changed. Yeah. And we all got to pick up the ball and figure out what game it is. And Pick My Brain does offer people an opportunity to play with that. You know, come build a job for yourself, you know, and peer-to-peer it up. Let people know. Let's build a marketplace that houses all the offers that you buy on Pick My Brain were curated by the people. So you know they're going to be good, you know, and let's reduce the amount of energy and effort it requires to be an independent. So when I, you know, going down this path to be an independent is a lot of work. We're doing it the very North American way. Everyone's going to do their own marketing. Everyone's doing their own SEO. Everyone's, you know, doing their own websites and their email funnels and all those things. Well, Can we become part of a collective, a knowledge marketplace where the platform takes care of that and we just sell our knowledge? Can we point everyone there and make this really nice, I call it a knowledge economy, which is like so exciting because this is truly my economist dream. And a knowledge economy is an economy that matches the production of knowledge with the consumption of knowledge. And I just can think of no better economy to live in. Because there's no supply chain attached to that. There's no transaction costs associated with that. I can't think of any negatives with, can you consume too much knowledge? Can you produce too much knowledge? Is that ever going to cause harm? I can't think of any examples. I'd love to think of one. And it just makes sense. I think we need to stop buying stuff for sure. Peak stuff. That has to stop. It has stopped. We are going to hit a depression here because the production of things, which drives GDP, which drives our mechanics of our old economy, are going to halt. But I'm like, hey guys, you know what? We can totally leapfrog it. Let's just onboard our brains into the system and just switch over seamlessly. Just like we all did with Zoom. We did so good. Bravo. You guys, we are on. We did really good. We were pretty resilient and adaptable. I was really impressed with how we did it. You know, the United States is another story. But for the most part, I feel like everyone did really good. but hey guys, it's not scary. If we all learn it together, you know, if we learn how to value knowledge and how to buy it and how to consume it and how to trade it, what does that look like? And so I am just making that world up, because that's what the economy is. It's a made up set of rules and principles and terms. And when you finally start to see that, like if we empower the people to see that, we get to make whatever we want right now. It is the most creation stage I've ever seen. And I have this strong feeling that people that are creative and artists are going to be the highest paid citizens in 10 years. Time is just going to shift. And we're just going to live in this really, really value-added world that is slower. And I don't know. So yeah, I want to build a knowledge economy.
All right. Well, explain to us then a little bit the model, Pick My Brain. How does it work for creators? How does it work for people that want to learn or people that want to access specific knowledge?
Yeah. Well, it's a great question. So for 3 years, we've been tinkering with that. We've just recently come out with our, what we're going to be launching with. So you're getting like kind of the first, like next edition. So how it works. So everyone can come on to Pick My Brain for free, and we'll suit you up with a paid call. We're going to set the terms. We'll probably charge the call for $50 for 30 minutes. If you are open out there to letting someone talk to you for 30 minutes and pay you $50, come on to Pick My Brain, host it. We're going to list all these conversations you can have with anybody in the world for $49. And we'll pay you. And on our free plan, we take a 20% cut on that 50. And then we say, hey, if you really like that and you want to go deeper, do you want to package and list and sell a private session, a one-on-one session? So we can say, now you can book anyone in the world for a one-on-one and have like a private tutoring session with anyone. And we're going to charge you out for $99. We feel that's a pretty accessible rate. If you want to offer one-on-one sessions to the world, you can unlock that offer. And that's on our payment plan. That's $29 a month. Actually, $29 a month will get you 3 paid services that you can unlock. So Pick My Brain has learned over the course of 3 years how to effectively package and sell your knowledge. For the first 3 years, we let people do it on their own and saw what worked. And now we're like, we need to do this as a collective. It needs to be a marketplace. Let's have some standard services that everyone is available for, which are going to be the 30-minute conversation and the private one-on-one. And then if you want to offer other things like 5 hours of your time, 10 hours of your time, 25, right? Can you buy 5 hours of Jürgen's time, knowledge, and experience to learn? You know, what could I learn with you in 5 hours? So much. So I'm going to buy 5 hours of your time and we're going to exchange. And what that allows is, again, standardization. So I can see everyone in the world that I can buy 5 hours from. And it also opens up the opportunity for exchange. So I'm seeing in this new marketplace, a lot of people are going back to exchange, right? I'll give you this service for this service. I'm like, yeah, cool. Yeah. I love the gift. I love the exchange economy. I love the gift economy. So if I standardize again, if I say, hey, we're all available 5, 10, and 25 hours of our time, now you guys can swap too, if you find it, which is powerful. So that's, if you want to unlock those three, it's $49 a month and your transaction cost is coming down each time. And then if you want a complete custom profile, we have people that are selling and packaging really interesting programs or masterclasses or workshops. Then you're on our $99 a month plan, custom plan, and Pick My Brain handles the booking, the admin, the scheduling, the reviews, the reminders, the payments. And we're going to list you in our marketplace and we're going to introduce you to all the brains in the network and we're going to help you transition over to this new world. So I like to say it's kind of like what Shopify did. You know, you pay and you get to build an e-commerce tool. Well, on Pick My Brain, we think knowledge commerce is the next commerce. Hmm. And so you can pay to house your brain on our market and have a storefront for your brain, but also be part of this community and this new economy. Come on over. Yeah,
it's great. Now, full transparency, I'm actually on Pick My Brain. I have a profile. I'm playing around with some things. One of the things I really like about it is there are services or offers that you can play with that are not necessarily all that well thought out, or you know, in a state that you would, you know, set up as a proper product on your own website, for example, have a landing page and a marketing system in the back end where you bring people on board and then you're ready to launch. So these are things like, you know, talk to me about, I don't know, I was thinking of one this morning because I'm just about to finish my NLP trainer's training accreditation, but I don't plan to do NLP training. I actually want to use that knowledge in my own training, in my own marketing training. But I thought, well, I'll pick my brain, I could explore that. I mean, there's lots of people around who are interested, you know, what is this NLP thing? But they don't necessarily want to commit to a training program or anything. So, for example, a two-hour conversation around NLP, ask me anything, I can give you a bit of a broad snapshot, you can learn about it, and then that gives you a lot more information, and you can then decide, you know, do I want to take this further or do I know enough now? So that's just one example where I thought, you know, it offers you that ability to kind of do some experiments with some things that are perhaps half-baked, but you get some feedback from the marketplace, because when people, well, if nobody signs up, then you know that's probably either of no interest or badly presented. Or if people sign up and then they start to give you feedback and say, you know, we love this, we don't like that, we want more of this and less of that. So that helps you refine it.
Yeah, I love that. I do. We definitely are seeing people, again, have the confidence to play. Right. And I really want to push people to play in this time and put it out there. And some of my brains will start with an offer for free and they'll limit it to 5 free sessions. And then they'll incrementally start charging, build up their reviews, and they've got a new service to turn on when they want. And it's kind of like this portal that just like allows you to be like, hey, here's some cool offers that I have on the side. Check them out. And on the flip side, as someone who would be interested in NLP, but not taking a course, I wouldn't fall into that level, but to understand it, because I see the market, I see a lot of coaches learning that practice. So I would like to know something about it, right? You know, I want to know the principles and the foundation and why people are taking it. And if I talk to you, I even bet for 30 minutes, like sometimes when I talk to someone for 30 minutes, I feel like I might know now more than 60% of the people in the world about that topic, because I went directly to the source and was able to customize my knowledge pool. And I mean, 2 hours, now I'm getting a private tutor to catch me up. Like, how much did you spend on the course? Right. And I'm going to get that condensed version. You're going to get to regurgitate it and teach it, which is great for you as well. And what I find on Pick My Brain too, these are value-based products, but I am always getting such a good deal on knowledge because they're all passion driven and they're fun and they're playful. So the person on the other side has chosen to offer it. And that's very different. It's a very different feel. So I love that you mentioned that, because I really want to be an advocate for playing. And I want to be an advocate for playing both on the consumption side, because you need to consume knowledge to learn how to produce it, right? We got to like make sure that equation is equal. But yeah, put it like, right? The question, why can't I talk to anybody in the world? Please let me. Like, what can I possibly, what power, what more? What gives me more power than that? And I like to have that conversation, because I think we need to a little bit devalue money a little bit more. It shouldn't be worth as much as it is. I feel like, again, like, let's bring that knowledge is power really is back. Community is power, connections is power. And like, if I had unlimited access to talk to anybody in the world for 30 minutes and purchase credits and humans for $50 a pop, you better believe I'm going to have a lot of credits, and I am going to hold perspectives, that I need to hold. I'm going to be a more well-rounded citizen. I'm going to have better understanding. I'm going to have that human vibe with that person, because I shared a conversation with them, which is so intimate. And if I keep selling it that way, right, I'm just like, now I can maybe pre-sell, hey, who wants to buy 10 hours of brain time? You know, I'm going to set you up with a brain every month for a year, and you are going to walk away a more beautiful human being. Do you want to be a more beautiful human being? Well, you can for only $500. Because I know 100% guaranteed, if you want all your money back at the end of the year, I will give it back to you and double, because I'm that confident of how much a conversation can do for you on a personal, emotional, spiritual, financial, opportunistic level. It's just the most pure thing.
That's great. Well, I was just thinking as you were saying that, about my podcast. I mean, as we record this, we published yesterday our 300th episode.
Wow.
I think this one's going to be episode 319. Wow. So we've got quite a few in the pipeline, but that conversations with so many people all around the world in all kinds of different areas, you know, experts in their field, all of them, and wonderful people, and that kind of personal conversation is been so enriching for me. So apart from the fact that I get to share this with my audience, yeah, that, you know, what I get out of this is just priceless. And with Pick My Brain, you've almost got that without having to set up your own podcast, without having to do any editing later on. You have the ability to have those conversations with the people that are on the platform.
Yeah. Exactly. And just, no admin, no setup, just straight exchange. Can we do that? It's just so clean to me. And it just unlocks, what I feel like it unlocks is abundance, because it's never ending. It's totally renewable. It doesn't run out. Like, unfortunately right now, they still think nature doesn't run out. That's how they make their decisions. Yeah. Well, in fact, it does if you don't listen to it. But knowledge doesn't. No one should be scared of shortages. No one should be fear-based that like someone's going to get more, because it's just, and I want to make the pricing accessible, but I also want to make the pricing. And this is what I love too. I see so often in marketplaces, the price being driven down when it goes international, right? We go to Upwork and we can get someone for $5 an hour. How does, you know, that always makes me feel a little unsettled. You know, there's that weird thing, but I feel like a human being and a conversation is worth a conversation is worth a conversation is worth a conversation. And so I'm just going to standardize. I'm going to set price floors, and we're all going to be equalized with that too. And if you want to sell a conversation for $50, I would love to support you. I want to offer you that so badly. And then to the other side of the world, I'm like, do you want to buy conversations with people for $50? I know that's affordable, and I know how much it's worth way more, but I think I can start there. And I'll let the new knowledge economy, right? I like how the economy works itself out, just like nature works itself out. I'll find it. We're going to start there. And I feel like it's a really strong starting point. And I like price floors. I don't think they're used enough. Right, we don't want to drive the price down all the time. That's not my motivation.
Okay. Now, how are you going about marketing the platform? What channels are you using to get the word out?
I have not done any marketing up until this point, because we've just been, like I said, very bootstrapped, and this is 3 years of thinking and playing and testing and baiting. We just raised our first round, and so we're just improving the tech for the next 3 months. And then what we're going to do is, it's probably going to be very word of mouth, or we're going to go partner with all the storytellers of the world, such as yourselves. Mm. Right. And we kind of had a conversation, like, you had 319 conversations with brilliant people. And I got to, I can tap in and hear that content, which is like evergreen in a sense, right? I can always listen to it. You know, what we were talking about, how cool would it be if after I'm really moved after a podcast, I can go to Pick My Brain's directory to see if I can go further with that person one-on-one. You know, so I don't want to recreate. There are communities and groups. You are kind of like a pyramid in a community to me. You're like a keystone. And so how can I, let's see if these guys want to make themselves available, because they already have content, you know, extend the offer. So we'll start to strategically go and curate the first 1,000, and then we'll keep curating and partnering with people who have found, right, the beautiful minds out there. And we'll start there, and then I think it'll just kind of go. Well, we'll see, but yeah, we haven't done any formal advertising yet.
Yeah, I really like the idea of people making themselves accessible. Yeah. If they've been on a podcast as a follow-up. So we'll be playing with that. Heads up, everybody listening. I'll share that idea now. If you want to steal it, go ahead, because I think one of the things about kind of publicizing an idea like that, it's going to hold us accountable to do it. But the other thing is probably nobody's going to take action anyway. So
and I want to move. That's a great point to start. I want to move to the future where we're not like sharing and the distribution of ideas and solutions is what we need to distribute because it helps the collective. And so again, old economy is fear mine. I'll grow. If I share, I'm hurt. New economy is for the collective, by the collective, share because the whole world gets better and therefore you'll get better. And Elon Musk is like one of my favorite examples of that. You know, he gave his patents out because his mission, he's a mission-driven founder. I'm a mission-driven founder as well. His mission is to create a sustainable transportation, you know, system. And he knows that if he shares the patents with his competitors, he will achieve, he'll get there faster. So it's a different, right? I love that. So I'm always like, people are like, are you scared to talk about it? I'm like, no, because there are so many, just like, I'm not scared that anyone is more interesting than ever anyone else. Cause we've all lived. So I want to reduce that fear. You know, a lot of people ask me like, you know, can I even be a brain? I'm like, have you lived? Then yes. You know, if you have something.
Can you tell
about something? Yes.
Do you remember an experience you can tell us
about? Exactly. Yeah. How were you raised? I'm already interested, right? Because we can share that. Yeah. And then the second thing is a boundary time, knowledge, and experience, because it is such a high frequency exchange. We have built the tool and designed the tool to protect the brain's knowledge first and foremost. So you can always, as a brain, like, don't worry, you can set how many offers you want to make available to the world. You set it. How many conversations would you like to offer a month for $50? You let me know and I'll upload it to our system, right? As many as you want, or one a month, just to get that spark and to be part of something bigger than yourself and to be involved. So yeah, just like setting those conditions. And then you're able to say, you know, when people ask you, what's your give back? Oh, it's like my brain. I give back knowledge to my brain. And we'll just track it all for you to take care of it. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's sort of, it does bring up the point where, and I mean, I fall into this trap all the time. It's, you know, we have knowledge and we do things every day. And some of those things are just routine habit. And then if somebody else observes us doing that routine habit thing, that might be totally unconscious, might be something that we don't give a moment's thinking to. It just happens. Yeah. And somebody else then watches you do that and they say, wow, that is amazing. How do you do that? I wish I could do that sort of thing. And you think, that's no big deal.
Yeah.
So how do you kind of change that mindset and be alert to those little things that you know, I take for granted, but are actually of huge value to somebody else if I took the time to actually deconstruct it and explain it to them.
Well, oh, you just nailed it, right? Because so often we don't know what our most beautiful attributes are because they are just so normal to us. And so one of the things about becoming a brain that we've recognized, you know, helping people learn what those beautiful things, because I can see your beautiful things because I, you know, I can look at you and see that. And hopefully you can look at me and see some things as well. And so there'll be, right, how we've onboarded our brains up until this point has either been like inject an idea in them, have a session with them, identify, you know, those things that would do well in the market, but also do group onboarding of brains. And in those group sessions in a 6-week period, I'm gonna pair you up with 10 people from around the world. And over the course of 6 weeks, you guys are all gonna find each other's beautiful things that you're like, whoa, I wish I knew that. Cause it's such strength to hear that. Cause there is big fear of like, I don't have anything to offer. And I'm like, shut the front door, stop. Everyone has something to offer, full stop. We just need to find it. And hey, if you onboard into Pick My Brain, we've kind of standardized it cause we've seen, I believe everyone in the world can offer a 30-minute conversation. I truly believe that with every cell in my body. I also believe everyone could do a one-on-one session on whatever they wanted. You know, everyone could do that. I think everyone could sell 5 hours too. So those standardized things will get you going. And then learning those unique ones, we have a package that you can upload that's called Shadow Me for the Day. Shadow Me for half a day, Shadow Me for the Day. Right. And this is pre-COVID. But the idea behind that was, hey, if everyone in the world was available to be shadowed for the day, Because you lose so much as someone up and coming in the field wanting to learn a craft. You can't quite learn it all just through online courses. I want to see the person get the jar out. I want to see the person set their station up. I don't get to see those behind the scenes. Those are very important. I bet if I followed you around to, like, if I wanted to learn podcasting, I'd be like, can I spend a day with you to see your setup? Can I watch you do three? That would be part of a package with you. And that is learning that goes back to the apprenticeship model. But we can all be apprentices, right? And I want to kind of, it's like future of work, future of education, future of mentorship. Those are the three that I really want to keep evolving. And yeah, there's just a like, yeah, that knowledge isn't easy to transfer other than really being in someone's presence, watching. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And, you know, there's so much, and I'm thinking of the training courses that I've put together or the training courses that I've consumed, certainly the ones that I put together. And I won't talk about this, and it's filtered through my lens. Yeah. And then, you know, I make a judgment saying, well, what's going to be most interesting? Yeah. And whilst I think I do a good job of looking at it through the lens of the student, I'm making assumptions through my lens that says, no, that's mundane. That's not going to excite them. Whereas it might be something that they really need to know, want to know, or will actually get excited by.
Totally. And that's I'm so happy you brought that up because it is interactive. So I'm going to feed you what I want as much as you can feed me what you know. And that is such a nice relationship. Right. And coursework has a play, right? Because you could say, take this course and then after you take that course, we can do deeper work, right? You can always lead someone to take the foundational work, the theory practice, and then be like, buy an extra 5 hours after you take that course to get all the soft qualities that they call. But you know, the nuances, the styling, like when I took dance classes, you know, you learn the steps for like the first three levels and then you learn styling. You know, and then that styling makes it all. And so take the courses, take the classes, but top up and go buy 5 hours from someone who has done 319 podcasts and watch them dance because it will be refined. You will save so much time and energy and effort and knowledge. You will introduce me to products and platforms and people and systems that you've curated, and that is worth so much. And I'm not seeing that as a purchasable thing. You know, I don't know where to go get that. And so I'm like, okay, well, I'll build the marketplace because that needs to be for sale.
Great. Well, I could talk ideas and pick my brain applications for ages, and we have, and we'll do that on Pick My Brain separately, yeah. I think, because I'm just watching the time. I'm respectful of your time. So I think it's a good point to move on to the buzz, which is our innovation round. It's designed to help our audience who are primarily innovators and leaders in their field with some tips from your experience. Oh. So sort of we get to pick your brain very quickly. So there's five questions, and hopefully you'll give us some really insightful answers and inspire the listener to go and do something awesome as a result.
No pressure.
What do you think the number one thing is anyone needs to do to be more innovative?
Ooh, oh, man. Well, I'll download people. Download as many people as you can because they are the most innovative, creative, you know, all the answers are out there. You just have to go hear them in different ways and different perspectives. So I've captured all of my innovation by, again, conversing and connecting with a diverse group of people consistently. I get every single one of my ideas through people.
Yeah. So yeah, that's great. And it reminded me of this quote. I can't remember who said this, but we have it on the front of our marketing map, the document that we share with people when they sign up for our community. And there's nothing new under the sun. So kind of, you know, the whole thing is around, this is built on ideas from a lot of other people. And I think it was Newton that said, you know, I stand on the shoulders of the greats that went before me.
And it's true. You know, they say that music's never like a music is just repurposing of a few notes and instruments, right? And create all this incredible sound with it. Yeah.
All right. Well, on that note, what's the best thing you've done to develop new ideas?
My answer is going to be the same. Again, I get all of my ideas from conversations, staying up to date, relevant, asking really purposeful questions, and being curious. That's the recipe for my ideas. Yeah.
Well, if I can give you some feedback, I mean, you talked earlier about I see things in you see things in me that we don't see ourselves. I think you've also got this innate ability to connect the dots to say, well, you know, so-and-so has given me this information, this other person's given me some other information, and you're able to connect the dots in sort of multiple levels and generate new ideas that way.
That I will take that one. I can definitely hear 10 people talk and come up with, see the connection in between it. That's true. And I wonder if that's, is that a learned behavior? I wonder what that triangulation is, or if you get, I feel like I've gotten much better with it over time. What kind of skill that is. I like that. Thank you.
All right. Now, apart from Pick My Brain, what's one of the resources you use most often?
Like hardware or software or any of the above?
Whatever, any of the
above. My phone? Instagram stories. And I love Instagram stories for a lot of reasons. And I feel like they are, they give me quite a cross section of real time action around the world. And I've done a really good job at curating my feed. So I feel like I'm getting very good, short micro pieces of, again, visual raw clips from around the world of what's happening. And so I found the way I've curated my feed have served me really, really well during COVID, during Black Lives Matter. I get to see kind of the behind the scenes and the influencers who are actually sharing the truth are really sharing really great content that keeps me well informed. So I guess as the tool would be curation of feeds. You guys be so purposeful and go out of your way to follow things that are outside of your biases. I think we could all use classes on how to curate our feeds better. And because we don't know what we don't know, right? How many of our feeds just got way better and more diverse and representative, because hopefully we're all following more Black voices and Black businesses and understand and history channels. My goodness, like since I never heard of Tulsa. I never knew what Juneteenth was. Ever. I never learned any of that in high school, in university. I never heard anyone talk about it. And it was, it wasn't in my realm. And now my feed, I feel like just got much better. And I'm thankful, for that. And so it's been, let's remember the tools that we do have that can distribute the information that allow us to make better decisions and tap in. Yeah. So I'd say that.
Yeah. And that's great advice. And also actually listening to those voices and having empathy with those voices and sort of particularly with the Black Lives Matter. I mean, I know, one of the things that struck me was hearing people talk about how they spoke to their children, their teenage children, in terms of here's what you have to do to come home safely tonight, which to me is just, it's unimaginable for us white people that, I probably talk to my kids about, drive safely, don't drink too much, those kind of things. But it was never around, well, if you get pulled over by the police, here's how you have to behave to make sure you survive that experience. Yeah. That is just so, so scary. So, listening to those people, I think, is really important as well.
I mean, that's so interesting because, again, you're a father, correct? And so you put up on that perspective, you're able to apply it. And that's what set that context for you deep in your heart. You're like, well, that's not right. Especially when you see like a 6-year-old know that they were trained what to do when a cop comes, like, well, what? And so that really resonated with you. And like, as a young white female, right, I was listening. And as someone who has a finance and economic background, what really set with me was the inability. So these reparations that they're asking for, right, and just digging into that and the understanding of that, they were the wealth distribution, the ability to own anything that accumulates wealth or generational wealth was not allowed. And so, yeah, I started to put that in context. They are way, how do you catch that up without reparations? And I just started to understand that. And then same with defund the police, right? Makes sense. Like unlock this money and pour it into other organizations, distribute it. What could that look like? So those are the things that really set, I was like, okay, that I like that, that there's the policy mechanisms that, would help with that. But
yeah. All right. So content curation of feeds and getting broader perspectives and listening to the voices that are calling out the wrongs in the world.
Listening.
All right. Now, what's the best way to keep a client on track?
Ooh, constant communication, I think. I think what I've learned is people need motivation, people need check-ins, and people just require consistent small pieces of action to make consistent good steps and good expectations from the beginning of where we're going all the time. Like as a leader, as a mission-driven organization, even to keep my company on track, I think about an aggregate scale, I have to continuously just display the vision, which is in my head, to them consistently so that they all know what to do. Same with my clients. I'd be like, we're going to paint a picture together. We're going to check in that picture. We're going to check in on that picture. We're going to check in on that picture. And we're just going to move towards it. And you don't realize until you get older how much that can, unless you really, really check in, how different my head image is this to your head image, right? And you start to like realize, you're like, oh, when you think of that word, this doesn't pop up in your mind. We're not the same. So you just got to realize and find as many analogies and common examples and just always enter the equation being like, what are you seeing? Here's what I'm seeing. Are we moving? Yes. Confirmation. Keep moving forward. So yeah, I find that that's the best way to keep projects on track too. Is just, yeah. And same with relationships, that stems into relationships. So it keeps my relationship really strong is like consistent communications. Yeah.
Great. Well, that's a really important one. And of course we talk a lot about communication and you touched on one of the challenges there, which is one of the presuppositions in NLP, of course, is that, you know, what we see is not what's out there, it's what's here.
Yes. And so, I mean, we're all seeing what's in here. So how are we going to come together?
All right. Now we've touched on this as well, I think a little bit, which is what's the number one thing anyone can do to differentiate themselves?
Just lean into who you are and what lights you on fire. Sheryl Sandberg, lean in. The passion economy, right? Anderson Horowitz, one of the largest investment funds is saying this passion economy. It allows people to differentiate themselves based on what is inherently just makes them tick. Find that out, discover that. And the way to discover that is to sample a lot and to be able to talk to yourself and really assess, do I like this? Do I love this? Am I lit by this? I have to quit my job next week because I can't stop thinking about this, find those things. And I just find that when you lean into them, it's scary. There's a lot of fear to break through when you do that, but the world will support you. And the more you trust it, the more it'll lean back. It's just like, those balancing acts of those practices that you practice with people when you like lean on them, you both got to apply the pressure to make it work. So discover yourself. This is a time, life is all about discovering yourself. It's all about building a relationship with yourself. And so invest in that. And the way that I'm going to recommend that's a really easy way is by talking to people that have lived different lives than you. So one of the, not saddest things, depends what you think, what happens when you come back, but we get to live one life, but I feel like I get to live, hundreds of lives because I talk to hundreds of people about their lives. So for a minute, I get to jump into their life and be like, tell me what it's like to be an Olympic beach volleyball player. And for a short period of time, I am an Olympic beach volleyball player. And then I get to go back to Max. So explore. I'll just jump on Sheryl Sandberg's. It's like lean into who you are, find it, sample it, discover it, make it your life's mission to know yourself so well. and find that vibrate you. We all know, we all have enough intuition that when that hits, that hopefully we can, hopefully we're clean enough to feel it. And then just recognize it and just keep checking in with it and go further down the rabbit hole. Yeah.
I love that. Love that answer, and lean in and accept that. And yeah, I mean, there's a lot to be said for really getting clear about what sets you apart and to accept it rather than kind of try to be different. Because, you know, and I guess we're kind of early on in the schooling and so on, we hit this environment where everybody's encouraged, it's probably too weak a word, encouraged to be the same, encouraged to be uniform, and kind of we lose our confidence in being ourselves there.
Yeah, often. It's true. And I hope that changes. It's so much work to not be yourself. It's so much energy. And I just want to even be like, you know, be conscious of how much energy you're exerting, both on an environmental level, but also on an individual spiritual level. If something takes so much work, find something like there is, you're going against the grain, you're swimming.
That's right. Swimming upstream.
Recognize it, tap in, find the current that you can flow down.
Great. Love it. Well, thanks, Maxine. This has been really fabulous. Now, where can people find out more about Pick My Brain? Maybe even check out your profile, book you for a conversation and find out more about you. And so thank you for what you've shared today.
Well, first of all, you're so welcome. This is so much fun to be asked questions and to dig and to converse and have conversations. You can find me by visiting pickmybrain.world. We're starting the .world train. And I would love to even just, you know, again, like kind of what we were talking is I would love to offer anyone that is listening right now that is interested in trialing the tool and feeling the tool and experiencing the tool to go to pickmybrain.world, browse our brains, look up Maxine, and book me for a call or a 30-minute conversation or a one-on-one. And I would love to just learn as much as I can about you and tell you how I think you could plug your knowledge back into the system. And for, you know, maybe this is what we could do. You know, I do have a free call on there, so feel free to use it. But what I would love to do is, like, again, offer your listeners a gift. You know, I would love to do 5 free one-on-one sessions where you and I get together and we just talk for an hour. And by the end, I will just drop what I see, you know, something fun, because very quickly I can identify the ways people can package price, creatively sell that matches their passions, as well as what I know will do well on the marketplace. So what do I have as a discount code? If you put in discount code, I'll put, what should be the discount code, Jürgen?
We'll call it a Nova Buzz.
I'll put all the add a discount code for a Nova Buzz, and I'll set my parameters to 5 private one-on-ones if anyone wants me to look at their brain. Package and price.
Great. Yeah. Well, thanks for that. That's very generous, and we'll have that discount code and the links in the show notes as well. So thanks, Maxine. Now, do you have some parting advice for our listener today?
Parting advice. Yes, dear listener, you only live once. It's an incredible time right now. You are just granted an opportunity more than ever before to explore a different part of yourself. Please don't shy away from it. Jump in, you know, play with an offer, dream up an offer that you might want to play with, and put it out there and see what comes in. One of the greatest life hacks I've discovered so far in my life is, again, just if I let people know how I want to receive them, they will come into my arms. It's as simple as saying, hey, I'm open and available. This is how. So think about what you want to attract in, get really clear on it, and book me and let's build your profile so we can call it in.
Wonderful. Well, thanks, Maxine. Now, finally, who would you like me to chat with on a future Innova Buzz podcast and why?
Oh, good question. Who do I really want to think about right now or think of? Hmm. I was just this morning, I was talking about how Joe Biden needs a really strong Black female leader. And so I've been like downloading a bunch of strong Black women, female founders. And I just want to ask them, you know, I want to learn more about how they want to lead. So, you know, I would say, you know, I'm diversifying my leadership, my women. I'm studying all these women that have done remarkable things from all different, you know, backgrounds that have not been illuminated to me, and finding my mentees to look up to. But I would love to hear a really strong Black female's voice right now and just tap into what she wants, what she sees.
Okay. Well, that's very timely. And it's, I think that's a really good one to do. So we'll get some suggestions from you.
Yeah, well, I have a few that I've just recently started following that I'll pass your way.
Okay, great. And we'll see if we can connect with them and bring them on the show. That would be wonderful.
That would be wonderful.
All right. Well, thanks so much for sharing your insights and your brain with us and your time, of course, today, Maxine. I really enjoyed this. I always enjoy speaking with you, and I've learned a whole lot more about how Pick My Brain came about and what your vision is. I think I can kind of see it a little bit more like you now.
Cool.
And all the best for the future, and I'm sure we'll keep in touch.
Thank you so much for having me. It was an absolute pleasure, and I can't wait to re-listen to the episode.
All right, bye. I hope you enjoyed that delightful and informative conversation with Maxine and took something away from her episode. I love the message of the power of conversations. I'd always intended this podcast to be conversations rather than interviews, and I'm drawing air quotes in the space above the microphones here. Now, Maxine's philosophy of how conversations add value and change lives just reinforces my quest. I'd love to know what you took away from my conversation with Maxine. Leave a comment below the blog post, which you can find at innovabiz.co/pickmybrain. That is PickMyBrain, all lowercase, all one word, innovabiz.co/pickmybrain. You'll also find a link there to Maxine's Pick My Brain profile and a link to her free offer. Very generous. Use the coupon InnovaBuzz to get that. And also the other resources that we spoke about in the conversation today. Tune in again to the next episodes of the InnovaBuzz podcast, where we've got some more fantastic guests lined up to have these meaningful conversations, including copywriter and content creator Christina Torres and sales and profit coach Fabian Patel. Thanks for listening to this episode. Make sure you subscribe to the show to be reminded of new episodes. It's free to subscribe. Leave a review if you like. Even if you don't like me, I'm okay with that. I'm asking you to leave a review because it helps other people find this show. Go to innovabiz.co to join our marketing transformation community and access a free gift my team and I made for you. It's the Marketing Master Mini Class. We want to give you everything you need to transform your marketing into a human-centered, relationship-focused growth engine. Until next time, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz. Remember, be awesome and keep innovating.